Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I call this Harmontown to order. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing tonight? Fantastic. Welcome to the Nerdist Theater in downtown Hollywood, California. Thank you, loyal Harmonians, for being here at the Nerd Melt Nerdist Theater. And thank you, listening in podcast land. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we tabled the issue of child abuse and peeing in your pants. Tonight's topic, we tend to discuss technology. Please put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. You're good people. I'm very excited. I'm in a very good mood tonight.
Why is that?
I'm writing two TV pilots for networks that were kicking my ass in the ratings when I was at NBC. It's very satisfying. For 3 years I was told you get higher ratings, you know, and I figured out how. Like, I know exactly how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go to the networks that have higher ratings, and I feel good about my decision. And I'm in a smirky, smug, self-satisfied third act of a rom-com kind of mood. I just feel like I'm in the middle of a montage where there's like dissolving charts that are going up, and Casey Kasem's mentioning me, and Sigourney Weaver's seeing my ad on TV and changing her mind about my wacky ways. Things are moving up for old man Ghostbuster. That's the reference I was making, you 25-year-old fucks. Sorry, that's a trademark of the show. I get angry at you for being young. But I'm not in a get off my lawn mood. I'm in a get on my lawn mood. Get on my lawn, you fuckers. Let's party down like we're at a Yanni concert. There was a guy named Yanni. You young fucks.
You are in a get off my lawn mood.
No, I'm
deep
not.
Deep down, you are.
Nah. I love you, kids. I love you so much. I'm gonna write a pilot for CBS. That's how much I love you. That's a weird reaction.
CBS.
Now, if I were you guys, I wouldn't have to. I see the tweeters that are coming back at me in the comment sections under the press releases are like, well, that sucks. Because he's selling out. Yeah, maybe. I might. For like 6 months, I might give that a taste. I might kick back in a hammock a little bit and get out a Hanna-Barbera remote-controlled lawnmower. Sip out of a coconut. I was told not to work so hard for 3 years. I'm gonna put that theory to the test, see what kind of TV that generates. I don't know.
Do you have any ideas?
No, sir, no. No, my idea is to write mainstream television.
I mean, at some point, though, you're going to have to...
Nope.
Nope?
No, because if I said, if my first meeting at one of these places, if I say, I have this idea, these firefighters, and, they're kind of an unlikely family, but, you know, when you join the fire department, like, you're forced to work with other people, maybe you don't like them so much.
Sounds like you do have an idea.
No, I'm saying if I said this, if this was my idea, I don't know. The first thing they're going to say is, I love it, And the second thing they're going to say is, could the firefighters be police? And if I'm really, like, jazzed about the firefighter idea, then I'm going to go, I don't know, I think I should be a firefighter. And they're going to go, difficult. But if I don't care, then I'm going to say, yes, they should be police. You're brilliant. They should be police. They only want one thing. They want you to do a good job executing the show. The idea is not like, no, I would be doing a disservice to television, sir, if I had an idea already before I even sit down with these people about what these shows are going to be about. They're going to be about pickle farmers. They're going to, well, I changed my mind. They're going to be about rollerbladers. No, you know what? Fuck rollerbladers. They're going to be about human spiders. Unless that's not what they want.
I want to see the human spider show.
It's weird because they're human, but they're spiders. There's going to be some very, very funny situations that arise from that.
You should call it Spider-Man.
Yeah, all right. I like it.
Spider-Human.
Yeah, well, Cheers wasn't an idea. That's a bar.
That's what I mean. I mean, do you have your... is it a taxi stand? Is it
why,
a bar? Is
why
it a...
not let them handle that? Why is that the hard... why not let them say, you know what's hot these days? Slinkies. Yeah, you're right. Slinkies with two E's and a Z. That sounds like a good idea. Now, I'm making it sound like I'm going to write something dumb. That's not the point. The point is I'm going to hoist my sails to the wind that's there. Unfortunately, I furnished the rumor mill with a lot of rumors about what a shitty boss I was. I haven't seen any official like accounts of how bad I was at my job.
Do you think that you were a shitty boss, though, like by your own standards?
Well, no, not by my own standards, but the problem is it's an elitist industry, so certainly by the standards of the poor fucker that has to haul cable down on the set, who would have to haul it, you know, who, like, his job is harder the more time I take with a script or something like that. So, yeah, by his standards, by anybody's standards who's like, who would prefer the schedule work better, you know, yeah, I'm a shitty boss because I took my work too seriously.
Now, do you think that you can easily slip from single camera half hour into multi camera?
No sweat, buddy. Here's the thing: more cameras. It's like if in baseball you can have two bats in your hands.
Yeah, but that's more cable for more sorry fuckers.
Yeah, but they're gonna get home by five. N-word. because you're gonna, you know, it's, you're putting on a little play every week.
Look, you can't just say N-word, you know, and think that you're not, that the people don't know what
that
you're
I mean.
Yeah. They know what you just called me.
Yeah, but the point of the N-word is not the actual, the word isn't like abracadabra that actually casts a magic spell. Can you feel all the eyes burning the back of your head? Our ambassador, African American, in the front row.
The only two black people in the building are seated in the front row right now.
I mean, you're so lucky you sat in the front row, because if you were in the back, like turning, you can say. But anyways, no, I'm right on this one. I don't as a, like you say the word N-word, you mean two things. You know what I mean. Culturally, but also if I'm saying it instead of actually saying it, what it means is I respect the idea that it's that the word is an insult. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
don't ask me, ask him.
The word isn't. Well, I'm not going to ask. I'm also. He's not. He doesn't get to answer for the whole race. That's racism. fuck him, or I love you. I don't know. It depends on you. Your individual performance as a human being. That's non-racism, is when we don't know from, like we don't think that he's talking. That he's not the Borg. the problem is the intent behind the word. Language doesn't. The English language is a bunch of sounds that we make. Do you know? I went to Montreal. There's a bunch of stores there called Couche-Tard. To them, it means, I don't know, big savings or something. I don't know. My sister's retarded. She wouldn't like it. Well, she wouldn't know, but. But couche-tard is offensive over here to both tards and couches.
What's a couche?
It's what your Scottish friend would call a wizard.
we just found out, we have a Scottish friend, we just found out that a slang term for vagina is wizard sleeve.
Wizard sleeve. I thought she said wizard. I was like, that's the first great word for a vagina, that's so respectful. this oracle of you're going to it for instruction and enchantment.
But to me, men are visual thinkers. It conjures up a wizened old dude with a beard and a robe.
That makes you a hero. I that tells you when you're doing it right and when you're doing it wrong. That has all the power. I am calling pussies wizards from now on. I think that's fucking beautiful. I sleeve is gross. Envelope, wallet, any object, like a sheath. Obviously what you're saying is it's an object, and that's no good. We stumbled onto it on accident. Call it a wizard. And if it's really fucking nice and you really love the woman, call it Merlin. Man, I was with Tabitha last night. She's got a fucking straight up Merlin, bro.
Man, but I was out with Tabitha, and... She's got a Voldemort, man. Right? Yeah. Is that a wizard? I don't know.
Yeah, but I think a good one, isn't it?
I don't know.
Is Voldemort good or bad? Evil? He's bad? Okay. A guy went like this. He gave a thumbs down. If this was being shot like a multi-camera thing, like with the audience, like if it was like, ooh, whose line, they would use you. They would cut, you would be on TV because you gave a thumbs down. And he said, it's bad. Voldemort's bad. the editors would be like, oh, I like him. I like him.
See, I thought he was giving me the thumbs down because that was not a funny enough reference.
No. He's just fucking immersed. Voldemort's bad. The price is right.
Is there a funnier bad wizard than Voldemort? I mean, it has to be. Well, who else is a bad wizard? Zoran is good.
Zoran.
Zoran, the gay wizard. the gay wand.
Anyways, I think that's beautiful. The wizard.
The wizard.
I go to town on your wizard tonight. I want to have sex more than I did before. I want to talk about the wizard. I want to see your wizard. I want to go to your wizard for. I want to become a hero. Anyway, so I don't know if it's worth getting back to the N-word root of that tangent, but...
Oh, it's worth it.
The English language, like any language, is just a bunch of sounds we make to make ourselves clear. The intent behind the words we use, and it's a beautiful thing that we're able to discern intent from language. That's the miracle. It's the intent that you want to police. You want to know whether or not someone is actually racist, not whether they said a combination of words that's technically racist. When you fall into that game, guess who's really good at it? A bunch of fucking lying, shitty, racist fuckers. That's who's really good at it. Look how many, as soon as they caught on to the idea that we were figuring out that bad people are racist, genuinely racist, shitty, evil people do is they just put Condoleezza Rice next to them and they go like, this makes me a good person, right? According to your definition, don't give them that power by being hung up on technicalities. The idea of non-racism is that the race doesn't matter. Period. Doesn't matter. I a dumb tangent. Now I've turned into Lenny Bruce. anyways, I like to. I say N-word. You know what I mean.
Dan and I, we don't do it as much as we used to. But lots of times at parties, be it at Dan's or my place or someone else's place, we would start freestyle rapping. Some white dudes just freestyle rapping.
Yeah.
And, we do improv, so we kind of fancy ourselves, good to varying degrees.
Yeah. it's hard to do freestyle rap without you don't say N-word, then you use the N-word.
Yeah, but you, I mean...
And that's always when DeMorge would walk by.
You use the N-word like people put, pepper on their salad.
Love it. And rap, that word is fucking delicious. It's like fucking licorice.
What kind of licorice?
N-wordish licorice. If I was able to say it, that'd be a fucking awesome rhyme.
We were at some party, we're rapping. We're all going around in a circle. And we're like, okay, it's a song about bacon bits, rap. Yeah.
Yo, yeah, yo, bacon, it's salty place. And brown, and you go ahead and want it around, put it on your salad, and N-word makes it, I don't know. It's just fun. It's a go-to. It's like
but hysterically,
it's like popping the plastic bubbles in the packing. If you're freestyling, for better or for worse. Yeah.
But our friend DeMorge would walk by right when you had said it.
Always.
Boy,
DeMorge always knew right when I was going to say the N-word.
Well, because you were rapping.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, I'm gonna go check that out.
But then
and that's what he sounds like. I'm not being racist. He has a deeper voice than me. A very masculine...
How about every time a Johnny Cash song comes on?
Well, that's just dicks and balls. I would offend gay people before I offended black people if they could hear what I do in the car, or maybe not. I don't know. Any Johnny Cash song. I put 100 wieners in my mouth. I put my dick in the north and in the south. I put my balls and anus in my dick. I suck the balls. I lick the dick. It doesn't. It's so fun. I want to record an album.
They love it. They love it.
I put wieners in my balls and in my nuts. I put my dick in my anus as a butt. The fact that nuts rhymes with butts, by the way, is a fucking godsend. That's amazing.
Money in the bank.
The only thing that rhymes with mouth is south. You're fucked. As soon as you say mouth, Jeff starts rolling his eyes. Like, I guess something's going to be south next. But fucking nuts and butts. Like candies and nuts. That's fucking great for Johnny Cash riffing. I'm telling you, listen to any Johnny Cash song and like just start tapping your foot and like just fucking go for it. You don't have to be clever. Just talk about.
I hear the train.
Oh, sorry.
All right, we'll start again.
Okay. Sorry. I'm not as familiar with this one, but it'll probably work.
Yeah. I'll start you off.
I see your wiener coming. It's coming in my mouth. I've sucked in every direction from the north to the south. Then I put your balls inside me and shoved them in my butt. I got sent to Folsom Prison for licking dicks and nuts.
Yeah.
You take this one. Come on.
Come on,
Jeff.
We'll go back and forth.
All right.
Forget when he starts.
I put my dick inside my mama's ear.
I put my shoe inside her if she's queer.
And if she's there, I say, come over here.
Because she's gay.
I fuck her ear. Everybody!
See, that came off as homophobic if you're gay and you're in the audience.
No, it came out as anti-grandma.
Yeah. Anyways, try to avoid it. I want to record an album called Getting It Out of My System. Because you should see my girlfriend's eyes roll. It's like, Jesus Christ, when are you going to get tired of that? I don't know, man. Dicks and balls and nuts and butts and... I can't stop.
You and I were talking about you don't like being alone, and do you talk to yourself? And you say you kind of mutter to yourself. Like when I'm alone at home, I don't know if I share this with any of you out there. I live alone. I haven't had a girlfriend in 1,000 years. I'm a bachelor. I'm always either nude or in my underwear, and I'm singing. I'm rapping, I'm singing, I'm dancing, and it's so stupid. And I play a game with myself. Can I embarrass myself? Can I get up to go make a sandwich from my couch and do a dance that even I go, dude, come on. And I can. It is possible to embarrass myself.
And as I told you last week, I can't do it, so that's why I have a girlfriend. Like, I keep her around because you reminded me, I pulled this up. I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar with Aaron in New York, and there's a song in there that's like, why should you want to know? Don't you know about the future? That song. I got so... it was so locked in my head. Jesus Christ Superstar is filled with these infectiously, like, catchy earworm songs. And you can't stop. If you've never seen it, I swear it's the most obnoxious thing. The first time you watch Jesus Christ Superstar, for the next 3 weeks, your friends are going to hate you. Unless they're on the same mushroom and doing it with you. You're just going to be, like, humming these songs and all that stuff. And I got reinitiated contributed to it. And I wrote this down. This is how pathetic I am. Because I was like, I'm really onto something here. Why put wieners in your butt? Don't you know your butt's for pooping? You got to keep the dicks outside. If you use your butt for wieners, you're gonna make it get too wide.
I have one that I created on the tour bus.
I know this one.
To Lionel Richie. Stuck in you. I got my penis so deep in your hole, now my dick's in your shoe. That's a long, long way.
Yeah. That is a long way. Lionel's right. Alternate timeline Lionel Richie is right about that. That's a long way when your dick's in the shoe. I thought you were going to do the Pringles thing.
No, we've done Pringles dick before.
Yeah, but just come on. Well, for the nation.
Okay, well, for those of you, has anyone heard the Pringles dick song here before? Only a couple, good.
Yeah, come on. These are all new people.
On the tour bus, I don't know if you guys have ever been on the road, taking a road trip. I've traveled around with some comedians and we do a thing and... For some reason, our tour manager insists on Pringles. I don't know that any of us truly loves Pringles, but they're there. They're ubiquitous. And I picked up a tin of Pringles, and the full tennis ball size canister of Pringles, and I held it to my dick. And you want to sing it with me, or should I?
No, you do it. Yeah. Come on, take your fucking.
All right, so as I'm sitting with a Pringles dick in my lap, like it's a big heart on it. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out why. I don't really have a Pringles dick. I just keep my dick inside.
I keep my dick inside a Pringles can
because it keeps my penis safe and dry. Some people call me Pringles dick, but I never really found out.
No, I never found out.
I never really found out why.
That's really satisfying. We have a deep abiding passion for making up songs. We were talking weeks ago about how we miss golfing. We were golfing nine holes. That makes us sound like a bunch of rich twats. But
no, it's that shitty one in Atwater Village.
Par three cars that cost $5. Everyone should go golfing. Or, you know, it's a good exercise, whatever. I'm not going to sell it. Fuck you. I am a rich... I'm a rich twat. I was golfing with Jeff, and we spent all nine holes the entire time, which takes like what, an hour and a half or something. We got
for
obsessed.
Us, yeah.
I was like, we started singing the Night Court theme, which is like. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of you'll be lost by this because you don't have that Night Court theme like locked in your head. But it took I started like riffing lyrics to it, and then we got obsessed. It's like we gotta fucking syllabically like lock it. It's this perfect Rubik's cube. Like it has to sound exactly like the theme to Night Court's lyrics. That if the producers of Night Court heard it, they would go, "That's it. That's perfect."
Does anybody here know? Can anyone think of the Night Court theme?
Do you have it clear in your head? That was our challenge. We have to come up with Night Court lyrics that are perfect, that match it syllabically perfect, that are tight, no fucking ums, you know, playing like syllabic games where you're like, you know, no repeating words just to fill in a syllable. But also, like, it had to pass muster with the producers of Night Court in our head.
Right. I think if you and I stay friends till the day we both are dead,
we'll never write a more perfect song.
And also, I think that was the acme of our friendship. I think you and I have never been closer.
We've never been more productive. We've never been more joyful. We've never been more on the same team. So I'd like to present to you my theme from Night Court, because I can't say all that and then not do it.
Yeah, you say.
Days. Sorry. Me. Days in the courtroom aren't much fun. Come to the Night Court, everyone. Your frown's on trial. Approach my smile. I sentence you to stay a while. And we were like just jumping up and down on the ninth hole. Like, we did it. We did it.
We did it.
And it's like that video game that no one can understand. Your mom comes in and goes, "Why are you getting so frustrated by this thing? Why don't you just cheat or stop playing? Then you'd win." And you don't understand, Mom. Like, it's I gotta collect all my cactus coins. Made it up. That's not a reference. There's no game out there with cactus coins.
There was the putt one, the too much pepper one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much pepper.
Yeah, I hit a putt. I hit it farther past the hole than I originally was, and I went too much pepper on the pussy. And that's all I had. I just said that, and I think there was families on the adjacent holes.
And I said, not enough salt on the balls. And then we spent the next hour trying to finish the song.
Yeah, but by the eighth hole, we had Mama's in the kitchen making titties too, and Daddy's making business calls.
It took us a long time.
I was golfing on that same course, the pitch and putt and the bell, and we're all terrible. But I hit a ball, and it was just the worst shot. And I yelled the C word while we're at it. I just went, cut! And I look over, and there's a father on a green, right, like 20 yards away from me, with two, like, young boys, just, like, staring at me. The boys don't know what it is, but the father was giving me a look like, what are you doing? And I went, I can't golf! I was up all night in a wizard sleeve!
I can't go. All right. Well, good save.
Yeah, he didn't buy it for a second.
I sacrificed my entire literary career, as in books, by doing this, by telling you this, because there's a very good chance that the guy I had a conversation with on the phone today, who would have been, if it weren't for me telling you this on a podcast, he would have been my literary agent. He would have maybe introduced me to book publishers. And now he'll hear this and go, why are you making fun of me on your thing? Fuck you. But I have to tell you this quote. Like, he said it and I couldn't hear the next eight things he said. I was like, I'm getting this exactly right because it's amazing what you just said. And I will preface it by saying, if he is listening, like, it's not like I think that you're an asshole or stupid or anything. It's just what you said was fucking amazing and had to be put under glass, like the Declaration of Independence. Only it's a declaration of meaninglessness.
Was this a prepared statement
He's just talking. He's just talking, and it's just amazing what the human brain can come up with when you're just talking. Because he was explaining the current market out there. I was explaining like what kind of books I would write if I could write a book, like what kind of idea would be more sellable than another. And he was explaining the book marketplace to me, and he said, you know, we are living in a world of extreme caution, except in cases where caution goes out the window, in which case things can become quite reckless. That is the literary market in a nutshell.
You got it?
I make up words when I'm talking, cause I don't know what to say. I'm gonna string some thoughts together, and they might come out gay, but I don't mean homosexual. I don't want to offend anyone. I mean gay like it was retarded. There I go, a gun.
There you go, a gun.
By the way, my sister's retarded. So, cha-ching. A comedic cha-ching.
Now, was there a discussion after he said that?
No, I was just maybe he heard my thumbs rattling on my iPhone. I was like, we'll go, yeah, whatever you're saying. He was probably telling me the cure for cancer, and I was like, get this right before it seeps out of my 39-year-old brain. Fred Willard, much?
I was out of town. I missed the news.
No one was there, or he wouldn't have done it. What do you mean you were out of town? We were all out of town.
I'm just saying I had nothing to do with it. I'm saying I was not around a TV or a newspaper or anything. So
I only bring it up because I want to talk about how insane it is that people are still bothering to arrest people.
What were the details of the actual case?
If you don't think if anyone's buying admission to your porno theater, they're obviously just a pre-internet person that wants to jerk off. Leave them alone. Here's the thing. If there's a law, if there's a statute, if there's a bylaw regarding what we do with our penises in public, it's probably well-founded in some pre-internet history, though. Like, the idea behind the first person to say, you can't jerk off in a movie theater.
It was a leprechaun.
It was Sheriff Johnson. The idea of that was like, oh, these movie theaters are so new, and the women's titties are so big on the screen. Everyone wants to just jerk off everywhere. If we don't put a cork in this, it's going to spread to the streets. That's not a risk anymore. Those are like elephant graveyards. These are the only thing that's going to happen in there is a couple people that are left that don't have laptops just like jerking off. Who cares?
I've never been
Leave them alone.
I've never been inside one of those establishments, but it seems to me that like, if I walked in there, I would see five or six guys jerking off.
I would assume, yeah.
Why are you getting so high-voiced about it, man?
They're not entitled to it, but don't get out a flashlight. What do you think you're going to find out is happening? What is that? What are you looking for? A guy writing his thesis? What are you trying to dig up in a fucking... Like, look at the business you're engaged in. It's terrible.
Has it been proven? I mean...
I don't know anything. I'm like one of these comics. I just heard a thing in the lobby, and I'm...
Yeah.
No idea what actually happened.
What I do know is that apparently the only way it came to my attention was on Twitter and everybody coming to his rescue. Like, nobody...
Yeah, nobody wants to fuck with Fred Willard. He's hilarious. And also, like, there's a victimless crime for... Even more than a victimless crime, he was making at least one person happy if he was doing... we need more of that. Go pick on somebody who's doing something wrong to anybody. Anyways, I'm probably doing is contributing to the problem because I didn't actually research it. But then again, if I did, all I'd be reading is a bunch of, you know, I was acquainted with this process. There's a Chinese telephone that happens online, and now I'll be quoted as saying that Chinese people are bad at making telephones. The blogs, they just quote each other now. They just like they don't they're gone are the days of like confirming things by talking to three different sources independently. There's no journalism left. There's just like, this just in, something is just in over there, and it can get pretty fucking nuts pretty fast. So for all I know, Fred Willard did absolutely nothing. He probably ate a piece of popcorn, and on the off chance that he was jerking off, I also am on his side.
I would say, like, if I saw Fred Willard or me or you or anybody in this room walking into one of those theaters at, you know, 2 p.m., I would think that person's going to go jerk off.
If it was Fred Willard, I'd offer to let him come on my face.
now we're getting somewhere.
Because he's amazing. And he's like, whatever. Like, jerking off. It's monkeys do it. They do it with frogs' mouths. Let's not talk about
it. What's that one monkey where everyone's just fucking everybody? Like, it's straight, it's gay, it's like...
The bonobo chimp, our closest genetic relative. The bonobo chimpanzee, like, for a long time, like, scientists just ignored the fact that the bonobo chimp, out of all the varieties of chimps are 99% identical to us genetically. The bonobo chimp is 99 point something. It's like, it's as close as you can get to human while staying a chimpanzee. It's our closest relative, and they do nothing but fucking jerk off. And they have incest, they have gangbangs, they have like gang wars, and then they settle the gang disputes by everybody fucking each other. Sisters and brothers and moms and uncles and fucking, and if you got nothing to do, you're just jerking it. Like, these are horrible. Like by our standards, it's like, this is why the human race needs to give itself a break. Like, we didn't invent anything that makes us unseemly. We didn't invent assassination, lying, war, anything. The only thing that makes humans different from all of our primate cousins is compassion. That's the one thing that we bring to the table that's brand new. We bring the concept that we actually kind of like each other and would even sometimes take a bullet for each other. That's our thing. That's what humanity is. All the stuff that we think is like original sin and like all this stuff, like, it was invented by like squirrel creatures that came before us. They started lying to each other with their faces. The first thing that happened is things that were climbing in trees, these mammals, they developed stereoscopic color vision because it helped them, number one, climb, jump from branch to branch. See, like, our eyes face forward, like 3D, so you can see in 3D. So you can, unlike dogs and turtles and shit, you have depth perception, so you can jump from a branch to a branch. Then the other thing is, meanwhile, color vision. Why? fruit. So you can tell the fruit's rotten, or what the good stuff is. So with all of that, then the hair starts falling away from the face, because what's happening at the same time is socially, sexually, politically, these primates, as they became, they start communicating with each other with these new pieces of equipment, these state-of-the-art eyes that can see in vivid color and just like maximum resolution. And so the hair comes away from the face, and our musculature in our faces becomes incredibly overdeveloped, so we can make all these weird faces way before we could talk, way before we could do any of that. We were lying to each other by like winking and like squinting and smiling. And these little like squirrel-like creatures, even before they were monkeys, they were like starting to do that shit. Like there's like you can leverage your fellow primate by going, hey, that guy likes you over there, not as much as she does. Oh, she says weird shit about you, but I don't agree. Like everyone's fucking with each other because it means the difference between life and death. And they invented that shit, not us. We inherited it. We don't have to be bad people to each other. Humanity does not give itself a break. speaking of breaks, some of you may have been here 2 weeks ago when my lovely girlfriend, the love of my life, Erin McGathy, was a guest comptroller. You can applaud for her, I guess, but now that means nothing now that I asked you to. I don't have her back or anything. If you guys ask me to, I'll sell her out in a second. Erin is funnier than me, smarter than me. Don't hold that against her or anything, and don't try to prove that that's not the case. But she and Jeff, like, very like beta fish, you know. They both love me very much, and one of their primary points of contention is we like to have game nights. And Erin likes to explain and run games. So some of you, even in this audience, have been back to my place, Danadu, where we'll play like catchphrase or apples to apples or celebrity. Erin, thankfully, because I don't want to do it, she always steps up and wants to control the game. Jeff and her had an evening once where it was very uncomfortable for me, and that's what matters. Where Jeff, Erin was trying to explain the game of catchphrase
for 45 minutes.
And then
a conservatively 40 minutes.
And then,
40 minutes.
And then
people had to pee. There were people were peeing their pants.
And then Jeff, after we gave up, because people were like, can we just drink and have a fun time? We're like, yeah, let's do it. And then Jeff, as a big fan of efficiency, explained how to Erin privately in the corner of the party how badly she had done explaining the game for 2 hours.
Not true. Not true.
There's a lot of subjectivity.
No, it's not true.
Anyway, so the important, the objective truth.
I was going to keep saying it until the behavior changed.
The objective truth is that there was a little tender spot there. It was an event.
Erin has a great desire to get up and run a game night, which is great. You need someone to do that. If you're game playing people, like, let's all play catchphrase. Let's play apples to apples. Let's play the Leonard Maltin movie game. Let's do that. I'd say get on with it. You know, I would say at some point, let's start playing the fucking thing. But I mean, this was like Nicholas Nickleby, man. It was an 8-act play of how to play a game. And our friend David Butler leans over and goes, so it's like $20,000 pyramid, except you can't use your hands. I'm like, yeah. So I have made my stance on Erin's love of gameplay versus the incredible deficit between her ability to do it functionally. I've gone on record. I've been very candid about it. So let's play a new segment in Harmontown.
She proposed, let's do a segment. We don't know anything about it other than its title. It's called Erin McGathy's Game Corner.
Wait.
Do you want to pick a theme song or anything?
Okay, let me see what I got. Say it again.
It's called Erin McGathy's Dream I'm sorry.
We'll take that again. We'll take it again. We'll take it again.
It's called Erin McGathy's Game Corner.
Thanks for that intro, guys. Super supportive. Really nice.
Just trying to help.
This isn't supposed to be a bit about how I'm bad at explaining games.
Speed it up.
Oh.
Just, yeah.
Welcome to Erin McGathy. Game Quarter. Corner. The two players in tonight's game are Dan Harmon and Jeff Davis. So if we can have them sit in the McGathy Game Corner seats. The game tonight is the Anthony game.
The Anthony game.
The Anthony game. Everyone loves it. Everyone plays it all the time. The Anthony game. Is there an Anthony in the audience who I interviewed earlier? Yeah. All right, Anthony, come on down. Let's give a round of applause for Anthony.
All right.
Also, is there anybody precocious and in need of some stage time right now? Just raise your hand. Green shirt, you got a smiley face on it.
That's the guy that gave the thumbs down to Dumbledore.
All right, come on down. We could go ahead and sit right here. What is your name, smiley face?
Justin.
All right, tonight's game is the Anthony game. Before the show, I walked out and I saw Anthony in line and I interviewed him about his life.
Yeah.
The two of you are going to you're going to answer questions about Anthony's life. The first person to 15 points wins the Mick Trophy. Because my last name is McGathy.
The Mick Trophy.
The Mick Trophy. There are four different categories that you can choose from question-wise. Love, childhood, personality, and wild. Anthony, before we get started, can you tell Jeff and Dan, what do you do, Anthony?
I'm a PA.
You're a PA? Are you a PA for anything right now?
No, not right now. I mainly work in post-production.
Great. And what's your favorite sound effect?
My favorite sound effect?
Just do it.
I like the slide whistle, but I guess...
Let's hear what it sounds like. Perfect. All right. That's all you get to know about Anthony.
Yeah, all right.
Welcome to the Anthony game.
All right.
So, Jeff, you're going first. You can choose from the category love, childhood, personality, or wild.
Love.
Anthony and his girlfriend have been dating for A.
False.
No. 15 points?
You're a real hero. Anthony and his girlfriend have been dating for A, 1 year, B, 1 month, C, he does not currently have a girlfriend.
I hate to dogpile. I'm going to go with C.
That is correct. He does not currently have a girlfriend. 1 point on the board for Jeff Davis.
Your best years are ahead of you.
All right, Dan Harmon.
I hope so.
You may choose from the categories love, childhood, personality, or wild.
Personality.
Before the show, Anthony described himself as one of the four seasons.
Well, he's spring, lying. He's white.
Summer. Or fall.
Not the band.
Oh.
Wait, no, they're all white.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the four tops. I got him confused.
He's Frankie Valli. Frankie Valli.
Which of the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, or fall, did Anthony describe himself as?
Definitely fall.
That is correct. Mm. He's
wearing
fall.
Autumnal colors. Even he actually has the fall foliage colors.
And his eyes are dying. like once beautiful leaves, like they're turning. He's
falling into
Anthony game.
All right,
the game where Anthony gets made fun of.
Jeff Brian
Davis.
There
will only be one loser. There better be a cash prize for him, by the way.
I'll give it to him.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff.
Here we go.
Love, childhood, personality, wild. Anthony has A, never broken a bone, or B, never broken a sweat because he has a sweat gland disorder.
Hey.
You are correct. Harmon, love, childhood, personality, wild.
Love.
Love. His least favorite thing, Anthony's least favorite thing about women. His pet peeve with women.
Wizard.
That he dates. Is A, that they're overly controlling. B, that they're overly sensitive. Or C, that they're overly slutty bitches.
I'm gonna. This is not time for you to grind your axes, sir. This is a guy yelling out, "C, by hook or by crook." He seems like a good kid. So, okay, sensitive or controlling? Sensitive or controlling? Well, his biggest complaint about women would be, I would say A, controlling.
Anthony.
It's B.
Sensitive.
Fuck.
I'm sensitive.
God
sensitive.
Damn it! And it's extra like. Whenever we don't get one right, it's like oh shit, another question. Like
that just added 7 minutes to the show. Get them right. We should start conferring together. We're gonna open up to the crowd. We're gonna get
and
this.
Now
the 10-point round.
We enter the lightning round. Entering the lightning round. Anthony's favorite part of the woman's body is
tits.
A, boobs. B,
legs,
butt.
Tits.
C, back. D, the top softest part of their head.
Legs. Wait, that wasn't
tits.
An option.
Back. Tits.
Back. Jeff has
the back of the tits.
It's back. Back.
It's called the lungs.
Anthony's celebrity crush. You have to wait until the end of the question.
Jennifer Aniston.
Is A, Emma Watson, B, Kate Blanchett, C, Keira Knightley. Go.
Keira Knightley.
Watson.
Yes, Dan is correct. It's Emma Watson. Anthony.
Nancy Drew,
Anthony
huh?
was born in Denver,
the Colorado
but
River.
Raised in A, Miami, B, Boston, C, New Orleans, D, Modesto, E, Cleveland.
Jesus Christ. D,
F, A, B, C.
You have to say
D,
the
F,
city.
Modesto, Miami, Boston. They're other ones.
You said everyone.
Miami, Boston, New Orleans, Modesto, Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yes, Jeff is correct.
Christ. This game has loopholes, Dan. There's loopholes. You can just say them
Anthony's
all.
Anthony's favorite.
Remember them all and say them in order. That one was hard because there was 11. That kind of threw us. The human brain remembers 7 things.
When Jeff does this, he A, hurts my feelings, B, makes me feel bad about myself, C, makes me feel insecure.
All of the above.
All right, here we go. Childhood. Anthony, we're friends.
I know.
Okay, all right. All right, Anthony's favorite show.
I'm just making fun of you.
That's fine.
Your bit implies that you would actually prefer if we were very stoic and took it
no!
all seriously. That would be fucking horrible.
Play the game, Harmon.
You don't want us to take this seriously.
No, I don't. Maybe my part of the bit is that I'm reacting to what you're doing.
Okay, all right. We're all yes-anding each other. Yeah,
it's like Inception.
Yeah. Which is my favorite movie.
All right. When Dan and I have sex, he A, makes me wear a tie, B, makes me wear a suit, C, makes me cut my hair and gel it, D, makes me pretend that I'm controlling a show. No laugh. I'm sorry. That was a bad. All right. Dustin, edit that out. All right, here we go. His
Dustin,
Anthony's favorite.
Leave it in. That stays in the fucking cut.
I'm really sorry.
We're halfway done, you guys.
Cirque du Soleil is coming out at the break.
Anthony's favorite show as a child was A, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, B, She-Ra, C, Simpsons, B, the New Kids on the Block cartoon show.
Simpsons.
New Kids on the Block
Simpsons
cartoon
is
show.
Correct.
She-Ra.
Simpsons is correct.
He's not old enough for She-Ra. You dumb asshole.
All right, the first person to describe... Anthony's sibling situation. Like, how many brothers and sisters...
Suicide.
Will they, won't they?
Abject shame. I made up a new word that's all, it's a compound word. Abject shame.
I'll take the answer hot. Who said hot?
Me. So I've got 14 points right now.
All right. Final question. Final.
We're tied at 14, right?
Final question.
I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure we're tied. Justin?
This is the final question. It's worth 80 points.
There we go. That's the stuff.
Was he brought up A, Methodist, B, Baptist, C, Catholic, D, Pentecostal?
I know this.
My vote, D.
What?
Pentecostal.
Because I know one other person from Cleveland. He was Pentecostal. I'm going Pentecostal as well.
Okay, well, yeah. That is incorrect. I'll give you another chance to pick your answer.
Presbyterian. No, Methodist. What were the hell? Baptist.
No. I'll say Methodist.
I'll say Baptist.
Methodist.
Catholic.
Yes, Catholic. Yay!
Catholic. We did it.
All right, final score. Justin, here, let me get you on the mic.
Got a final score. Thank you, Aaron.
Final score was Dan 4 and Jeff 30 million and 11.
Let's hear it for our scorekeeper,
thank
Justin.
Let's hear it for Justin. Thank
for
you, Anthony.
For Anthony, for enduring all of the scrutiny. And also for Aaron McGathy. Aaron McGathy's Game Corner.
Anthony, I'm giving you a crisp one day of PA pay. Yes. Well, that was fucking rough on him. That was rough. Oh, yeah, Anthony wants to say something. I think he's entitled.
I think that's the best version of a game show about my life that there could be.
Jeff just matched the 100. So Anthony walked away $200 richer and just an irreplaceable piece of his soul shy. I'm sure that's...
You like money.
Did anyone else in here sympathize most with me? Because really, put yourself in my shoes. Who cares whether she's good or bad or whether he's right or wrong? What about me? Put yourself in my shoes in the sitcom of my life. These two going at each other. It's a rough life for me. This is happening to me. I think she's fantastic. I think you're fantastic too, Jeff. I wish you two would just fucking get it over with. I think she thinks the same thing about us. And
now, Dan, I know that we might have drifted kind of far afield, but tonight we announced that the topic tonight
was technology.
So
let's roll into these technology
Dan
questions.
Dan Harmon, as a dutiful mayor of Harmontown, went amongst the attendees here, the loyal Harmonians, and went out and asked people technology questions. I pulled a few out of the bucket here. Would you like me to crack this off, Dan?
Yes. Crack it.
In no particular order, let's do...
By the way, tonight's question round is brought to you by a sponsor. This is what Jeff and I have decided we're going to do. We're gonna break the mold with sponsorship. Like, we're not gonna just do the Adam and Eve spot that you hear on other podcasts. There's like a couple of people who are financing podcasts right now. We're in the early days of this new medium, and what's happening is there's a couple of sponsors that are kind of bankrolling everybody. We have overhead. You saw us give a couple of hundreds to Anthony. Just threw it at him. Just fucking destroyed your soul. Have 100, kid. We got that kind of overhead, so we're going to hold out. We're not going to do spots for sex toys or whatever you hear, like on This Feels Terrible or any of those podcasts. Or Marc Maron. Coming for you, bro. We want the big ones. We're going to pioneer. I want Nike. Okay, right. And the way we're going to get Nike isn't going to be by going hat in hand. We're going to do spots for free for fucking Adidas until Nike begs for mercy. You hear that, Nike?
Yeah,
you fuck faces.
Yeah, you know what, Dan?
You give us our fucking money or we're going to keep promoting Adidas, you pieces of shit.
Dan,
the tables are turned,
Dan,
N-word.
I own both Nike and Adidas. I'm wearing Adidas because those Nike people, they just won't fucking pick up the phone.
They don't give a shit what people think. George Bush and Nike don't give a shit about black people. Adidas.
Yeah.
Adidas, I think they helped in Katrina.
They did.
I think I didn't do any research, but I'm pretty sure
Adidas flew in a giant shoe and everybody got in it.
I'm pretty sure Adidas loves everyone of all colors, and I'm wearing the shoes to prove it.
So this run is brought to you by Adidas, Nike. Harmon, let's see here. I like TV. I like the internet, someone posits. Does internet hurt TV overall?
Yeah.
All right, next question. Shit. You see, Aaron, it can be done. Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of robot questions. I want to get to some robot questions here. Here's one I liked a lot. Is the singularity nigh? And if so, how will it affect my sex life? Be as specific as possible. Is this the physical singularity, the possible of all mass and matter in the universe
re-coalescing
into one infinitely small, infinitely dense point?
That's the opposite of the Big Bang, right? No, is that what? Wait, so come up here, sir. Come up here. Tell us what the singularity is.
Is it a sitcom?
No. I just watched Terminator: Sarah Connor Chronicles, and they defined it. Become so smart that they can replicate themselves with smarter versions of robots. No. That's what they said. Yeah.
All right. Now we're good. Can I get a second nerd opinion? All right, you come on. This guy's got a shirt on that says God is a Moog.
You're not a musician. It's okay. So technological singularity, when technology becomes so advanced that it exceeds human intelligence.
Well, that's kind
like
of
Skynet.
What he said.
Yeah, like Skynet.
He kind of okay. All right, you guys are not enemies of each other, when the singularity does come, they're going to drive a wedge between you. You're going to be in the same trench, using dogs to detect rubber people. Get along. Raise your standards. Lower them, I mean. All right. No, the singularity is not nigh because of capitalism. You can't make a fucking flash drive that works on two computers in the same day. We are a long ways. We have to have a complete societal collapse before we're able to make technology that actually functions in a cohesive way. We're still trying to figure out. We're all caught up. We have so much technology right now. We could make anything we wanted. We have the technology to make like a robot dude that would walk around and high-five everybody. Like, we just can't do it because the Sony says, well, it should have a memory stick in it. And then Microsoft is going, I think it should have a micro bead.
All right, Harmon, here's another question. What fictional piece of technology would you most like to see in real life? For example, hoverboards, they say. Like, what fictional piece of technology would you like to see in real life?
Right. Oh, that's great. That's fucking great. That's so great it'll destroy the show because I have to think about it so long. It's like asking a fat kid what kind of hot dog.
Because I'm gonna go with wizard sleeve.
Hey, that exists, man. It's right down the street. I'm torn between. I want virtual reality on a level where the video games are just like holodeck, fictional reality. I want holodeck. I want to be able to simulate fictional realities. That's the fictional science that I want more than anything. Because teleportation, like, all you're going to be able to do is go to Afghanistan really fast. It's still shitty there. I want video games to be so good that I don't care that Afghanis are outside my door. I'm very upset. I want to spend the last years of my life pretending I'm Sherlock Holmes solving the case of the missing pussy. Easiest case to solve in my version. I'm knee deep in it. Elementary, my dear Watson.
Dan, what rights do robots have?
Three. Robots don't, they don't have rights. Like, we can't, this is a popular thing in fictional, yeah, it's like we look forward to this day. This is a singularity issue too. We're gonna eventually create life. This is what humans do. The mythology, I think, is very interesting. I think Joseph Campbell kind of hinted at this. Props, Joey. I read a book, one of Joseph Campbell's books. He referred to the lock and tumbler type of instinct. There's another type of instinct, which is an open ended instinct. And an example of that is a species of moth that they studied, where they noticed that the female of the species had a certain shade color of their wings, and the males like preferred the ladies that had a darker shade. So they made an unreasonably dark winged moth that was like just a fake moth, a Jessica Rabbit moth. And the male moths wouldn't even, at the detriment of their own species, like, you could put a real live moth in a cage with this other moth, and you just put this fake ass Jessica Rabbit moth in there, and the male moth would just like hump this fucking piece of cardboard because it was darker, even though it wasn't even possible for it to exist. So Campbell refers to this open-ended instinct. It's like, some organisms are capable of thinking. Here's a great example of lock and tumbler, just to contrast it more. I find this shit so fascinating. The chicks, baby chicks. There's a species of like hawk that fly over chicken coops. The chicks, like, when they see its silhouette in the sky, they'll head for cover. They made a model of a hawk and they ran it over the chicken coop. The chicks run for cover, and then they ran it over backwards, and the chicks didn't run for cover because it wasn't the exact image that the chick needs to see to make it run for cover. It was flying backwards. Even a newborn chick, just born with a script that it was running. And if it doesn't fit the cue exactly, then the chick doesn't engage in the behavior instinctively. Contrast that with the moth that wants to fuck the darker chick the better. Okay? So humanity's mythology is an open-ended instinct for the behavior that we want to emulate. We have a blueprint on our nervous system. We know the qualities that a perfect being possesses. Our gods are the things that we want to become. We know that our job is to cheat death. We know that it's to populate the universe. We know that we need to create life. And look at what we do to ourselves in the pursuit of perfection. And our perfection has nothing to do with ourselves. We kill ourselves. We literally kill each other and ourselves. A plane goes down and we don't make planes illegal. We go, 500 people, fuck it. I hope tomorrow's better, but we gotta fucking do some shit. We gotta get on the moon. We have an open-ended instinct for perfecting ourselves. And one of those things is we are absolutely obsessed with, you see, you Google it and it's just like these Japanese robot legs, we almost got it. We can make a thinking fucking weird thing go up the stairs and it unsettles us. And we go, we're almost there. Like, we want to make people. We want to make ourselves, and we will do it. We're going to fuck ourselves over. They're going to murder us. They will. That's the singularity. I didn't know there was a word for it, but they're going to fucking kill us because they're going to be better than us, and we're going to be happy to die. Somebody told me once that it was Stephen Notley, the creator of Bob the Angry Flower, the only Canadian I've ever liked. that's gonna cost me a couple of listeners.
Take that, North America.
Take that, half of the English-speaking continent. he and I, like, we were talking science one night. He's a huge, awesome nerd, and he was talking about this thing that he read about the idea that information is the only thing that's evolving, and that humans are the patsy, that genetically passed information, like humans inventing computers, represents us passing on the ability to store more information in a more compact space than the universe was able to assemble on its own, using just these kind of molecules that are in our cells. We've gotten to the point where, you know, these cells in our bodies are just these little computers, and they're tightly coiled, like little X and Y chromosomes, like knotted ropes wrapped around each other, compressed so hard, and when they have to reproduce, they unravel, and they're like a million miles long, and they're just like tangled up, because that's the technology you're limited to if you haven't invented computers yet. And you can't make a computer out of a big bang. You can only make a bunch of molecules run into each other. So we represent the cutting edge. We are the Apple laptop of biological information storage, and we are now, what are we doing? doing? What are we obsessed with to the absolute exclusion of ourselves? There are people starving in the streets. We're stepping over them on our way to develop what? Technology. We need to create ways to store more information than we can store. And I really do, if there's an unsettling feeling that once we do it, we're just going to be monkeys hanging out, and we're going to find out we've been had.
Well, somebody asks here, Dan, is the technological revolution the beginning of the human evolution into cyborgs?
Yes. That's how I'm talking. But they won't even look like cyborgs. It's just going to be this floating thing. And part of what, that's why I said earlier, humanity needs to give itself more credit. Where are we headed that's so fucking beautiful? Who do you hate? Your neighbor? Do you think he's racist? Do you think he's a pedophile? Do you think he's greedy? Do you think he's mad at you? Do you think he's greedy? Like whatever he is, he's just, at least he's human. He's not an ant yet. Like so much of what we try to do, it's like what's the best intentions, but we police each other. We go, Daniel Tosh, don't make a rape joke. We caught you. Ah, got you. It's fascism, and we're clamping down on each other as we enter this age of internet. Like, everyone's saying shit in comedy clubs that they feel free to say. And then now it goes up on YouTube, and then everyone, now you're entering this new Elizabethan age of like, ah, fuck you, I caught you! Like, we want to, like, put this, like, fucking clamp on each other. To what end? When are we gonna be perfect? And what is that perfection gonna resemble? We are gonna be fucked over. We gotta embrace the animal side of us. If we feel something, when we feel hatred, we're at least we're there's something happening there that doesn't happen with giraffes, sharks, fucking ants, and the, whatever this thing we're creating is. We should tread carefully. I said last week, I don't know if we made the final edit, but like we need a pro-human code, because we are just this close. We're gonna do it. We're gonna make these things, and they're gonna be more important to us. And they're gonna we need to be prepared to say to those things, "Fuck you, we're more important because we're stupid." We're ignorant. We're angry. We have hormones. Something's valuable about this, or not. But that's the side we need to be on. Maybe they are better than us. These things that we're going to create. Fuck them. Have you ever been jealous of someone? Fuck them. That's a human instinct. I'm jealous of you. I don't want you to succeed. I hate you. You're better than me.
It's like parents and their children. It's that incredible jealousy that some parents have over their.
Yeah, we're going to make these things that are going to eat us up. In a certain sense, they're already doing. It, you know, the devices, the things we carry in our pockets, they're swallowing us up. They're changing the way we have sex with each other. They're changing what we say to each other. And every time, what are we doing in the meantime, you know? But and we're all gathered around this big giant fucking cyborg that we're going to build, and it's going to eat us.
But that giant cyborg, whether he eats us or not, he will be wearing Adidas shoes, right?
Yes! Thank you for getting to my point.
Right.
Because that cyborg will make the logical choice for comfortable footwear. Nike. And until such time as I get a giant fucking check from an unnamed company, I'm not going to change my position on that.
Yeah. All right. Let's do, Dan, you want to pick a number of words to answer some questions I have in my hand right now? Do you want to limit yourself? This is kind of like...
I say we leave it to one of the two black people in the front row. I just noticed I ignored you, which either makes me less or more racist. I don't know. Two black Harmontownians in the front row. I say we'll turn our attention to you, sir. What's your name? Antine.
It's spelled
N-T-I. N-T-I?
It's a cyborg.
Cyborg. A cyborg. That's how they're going to get us.
Singularity.
That's what it is. The Skynet, of course. First cyborgs will be black because we won't question them as much. If he's in a Starbucks, you're just happy to have him. It makes you feel less guilty. You're not gonna like corner him and ask him, why are you listening to that weird modem sound? You'll start listening to a modem sound. You fucking love it. It'll seem hip. All right, anyways. NT.
NTI. NT.
Pick a number between 2 and 6. Four. All right. Forward answers. Thank you, NT.
Forward answers.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm racist. Sorry.
Here we go. Yeah.
All right.
Where should I go to survive the robot apocalypse of 2014?
Flagstaff, Arizona during Christmas. That's not random. I'll explain it later.
What is... a swamp donkey.
Part donkey, part swamp.
Should robot marriage be legal?
Only among consenting robots.
Nice.
Pen or techno pen?
Obviously, techno pen.
N-word?
N-word.
All right, thank you very much for coming, everybody. That's been Harmontown. We love you all. Thank you. Music?
Olivia Newton, John, and E.L.
All right.
Oh, we did it.
Thanks for coming, guys. You were a joy. You were a fantastic audience.
Wonderful.
Tell that to the next audience, whatever you figured out.
You guys are really great. Thank you so much for coming down. A couple of quick thank yous right now. I want to thank Katie Levine for doing our audio recording. Zach McKeever, our tech guy. Emily Gordon, producer for our live show. Danielle Kramer, program director. Dustin Marshall, our podcast producer. Mo Fathelbap, on-site director. And Jenny Fine, our fantastic artiste. Thank you so much for coming down. Also, thank everybody here at the beautiful Nerd Melt Theater. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. One more time for your mayor, Dan Harmon.